Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Folks, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our friends over at Superbook Sports. I am your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network. And we got a very special guest on the intro of this podcast. Who is that, Swipe?
That's Big Boy. Andre's in the house. This is Big Boy. And then Riley's downstairs. And then Chadwick the dog is somewhere rolling around.
Just roaming around. Swipe has got some responsibilities. He just came off of a Locked On Nuggets episode and had to do all the post-production. That's the aspect of podcasting that people don't understand, is how much like production pre and post actually goes into this stuff. And it takes a long ass time. It really does. But I am excited to get into it. Also, sort of seeing like there's a lot of people Are people getting mad at me on Twitter? What's going on? What, everybody tell me, like, what did I do to get people
They're
so
saying,
mad?
I told people, I'll own up to it. I have been on the Mile High Sports chat in all caps. I said, if you want to be yelled at in all caps, then follow Ryan Blackburn on Twitter. And then people started to break down what's happening with your interactions on Twitter when you say things. And you are getting very emotional on the timeline. Well, I'll call you about it after the game.
Yeah.
And then I'll calm you down. You know, yeah. Nuggets aren't winning a championship anymore. You know, all that other stuff. And then I'll call him and be the voice of reason.
It's funny. I never say that they're not winning a championship. I just say it's going to be so much more difficult to do so. And like,
you should hear what Ryan says to me privately, y'all.
Oh, that's okay. That is horrible. You are now like you're op number one on this own podcast. all right. Well, we're doing weekends here, everybody. Happy to have you all in, all the real ones in on the chat. Thank you so much for hanging out and being flexible with us. Sorry for the delay. We're going to talk about last night's game. We're going to talk about Michael Porter Jr. being dominant. He was great. He was awesome. Nikola Jokic kind of just doing same old things. He actually missed 5 shots today. It was crazy. Or last night. Crazy. We're going to talk about Colin Gillespie as well. That dude is interesting. A little bit of an enigma. Maybe it's just a hot shooting performance. Who knows? And then we'll talk about the upcoming schedule, including the Golden State Warriors game. But happy to have everybody in here. If you haven't seen these shirts yet, I do want to. Oh, I actually don't have that in this. If you haven't seen the Joker shirts, make sure to get them. Linked down in the description. They are super good. I don't have the overlay on Weekends with Swipa. Sorry, but I do have one thing that I want to drop, especially at the top here. Got this little overlay in the middle. It's unfortunately placed like right in the middle of the screen. We are going to be doing a watch party. We're going to do a watch party at a very, very interesting bar called The 38. I don't know if you've ever been to The 38 before, or number 38, Swipa, but That place is sick. It is huge. It's a wide ranging landscape for, it's just like a nice little hangout spot for a whole bunch of people in town. And we're going to do a watch party. And Cam is now hiding behind the overlay. He's now the buffalo. And we're going to do a live show after this, by the way. And I think Swipa, you might be involved, right? Are you going to be involved in that?
Am I invited?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. This is at the game. This is the second. Yeah, let's talk about that offline.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely talk about it. I know it's going to be fun. I know it's going to be good. And I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be a lot of fun. It's something that we've never done before. But after the Nuggets Lakers game, I know I'm going to be on stage there. It's going to be sick. So make sure to go check out the number 38 downtown. It's got a big old screen. It's going to be a lot of fun to hang.
If you ever see an album, no, put it back up. Put it back up. If you ever see an album cover like this, that's how you know he's about to be fire. It's like face yeah. off.
Oh yeah, that's a, I saw this and I was like, you know what? This is sick. This is sick. I have to put this up on the screen. This is actually on number 38's website. So if you want to go look up their future events, folks, then just go do that. It's a should be a lot of fun. Okay, now I will take it off the screen, folks. Denver won last night against the Portland Trailblazers on the second night of a back-to-back, 127-112. Jamal Murray did not play in the game last night. And I think a lot of folks, or when I said this specifically, wondering, okay, how does Denver respond to that? What do they do? Because there have been a couple times, especially lately, where when Jamal has sat, the offense has kind of looked pretty crappy. Now, they did play the Portland Trailblazers, and Portland didn't exactly put up a bunch of resistance there. But Denver still got great production, and they got a great step-up performance from Michael Porter Jr. Swipe, but what did you like most about his performance last night?
Yeah, you know, I talked about this a little bit last night and today. I think that, not as sharply as I'm about to say this, I think that Michael Porter Jr. could be a legitimate number two option for a playoff team, wouldn't say championship team, if he was given the responsibility. And I don't think that the Denver Nuggets, out of necessity, because you can't do all things. You can't make all talent work. The third person always gets a short end of the stick. I've always said that I think Aaron Gordon's great. He might be the third most important, but he's not the third best player on the team. Like Porter, by and large, is the third best player. There's reasons why. Like, I think for Porter, if Porter was in another situation, think about it. If he was Keegan Murray even right now with the Sacramento Kings, his career would look different. You know, if he was the second option for some of these developing teams, I think that he could have just been a different player. But I think when you're born into a system that they were already in a fortunate situation that because of his injury, he had to kind of back into the league opposite to what he would have been. If he was fully healthy, he's a top five, top three pick. And then Porter's like from the go expecting Jalen Green kind of involvement. Like, this is, you know, my team. Give me the ball. Let me figure it out. And we go. Porter was on the other end of the spectrum where it was like, it's Jokic and Murray's team. You're getting healthier, but you need to learn how to play winning basketball. Remember, you know, people are like, we're going to talk about Jalen Pickett here in a little bit. And people are like, oh, man, why is, you know, Colin playing over Jalen? I'm like, bruh, my head, Porter was playing behind Will Barton and Torrey Craig.
Yeah.
Like, PJ Dozier. And this was like year two bubble. Like, he was playing behind all – Paul Millsap was getting minutes over him. Like, this wasn't like Porter, who was very good at that time. Malone didn't trust him and didn't think at defense when he can execute. Maybe he couldn't. But some of this is the Nuggets had the luxury of telling, like, one of the most talented scorers in the league, hey, as great as you are, we're not going to give you any runway if you make mistakes. And I think people need to understand this. You know how – Porter has his issues, like as every human being does. And I think some of his personality traits, how he would develop, people have their own quirks about their personality. The same as me. I have my own quirks. But I think some of this is, Porter is a 6'10" super athlete that was the number one player coming out of high school and projected number one overall pick. And he allowed an organization and coach and culture to tell him and train him to be a tertiary option and not get real playing time early. And even now, he's allowing for the Nuggets to say, we need to close with Bruce, we need to close with Peyton, or we need to close with Christian because they're just better defenders more consistently. That doesn't happen in the league, by the way, just to be clear. Jonathan Kuminga is playing with Steph Curry, Draymond, and Klay and went to Shams and said, I'm not doing this no more. Year two, Kuminga.
Yeah.
Year three, Kuminga.
Yeah.
You know what Porter was doing year four? He was still going through that. Like, that's what I'm trying to think. Like, people just don't give him enough credit, I think, for Porter is able to give you 34 and 12. And last night, Ryan, 5 of 10 from 3, 8 of 11 from 2, 12 rebounds, multiple defensive opportunities. Ryan, I talked about this. When he got that rebound in transition and did that spin, you know, I made almost at half court, he is so smart now that he knew that his gravity was going to be enough to take Peyton Watson's man away from his man. So literally, like, he cut through the lane. Peyton Watson's man went with him, and then they were able to find a wide open for three. And Porter now is able to, like, understand the game at deeper levels. And I just think he just doesn't get enough credit for all of what he does.
It's hard to parse credit on a team like Denver where Jokic does as much as he does, where everybody talks about him like he's God. And if that is, like, it's something that people are going to have to parse and deal with, like, there's only a certain amount of credit that can go out to each of these individual players. And so when people see what Jamal does in the playoffs and how he steps up his game, he's naturally going to take the second most amount of credit. And then Aaron Gordon was the guy who was a borderline all-star last year, especially like in the absence of Murray and Porter kind of being at their very best early on in the season. And so he got some credit. And then KCP gets credit. And like people talk about him being first team, and it's very interesting to see, like, Denver's got probably the best starting five in the league. Like, they probably do. And all five of those guys play such pivotal roles in that you sometimes forget, you sometimes don't realize that they could play bigger roles for different teams. I think that if Jamal was in a situation where he would just had a normal rim-running big consistently, then he'd probably have like 25 and 7 averages. He would look a lot closer to somebody like Donovan Mitchell or Devin Booker from a numbers perspective, or De'Aaron Fox or whoever. I think Michael Porter, it's very similar too. Like, we've talked about this with KCP and Aaron Gordon kind of playing smaller roles and role player roles for what they do. But we saw this, and I think somebody actually had this comment. Where was this? It was a good comment. It was about the bubble. Here it is from DJR. MPJ was a legit scorer for Denver in 2021 after Jamal was injured. He was averaging like 23, 24 points per game for Denver.
On 50-50-80 splits.
It was sick. And like, he can get back to that. And it's that level of talent and that level of confidence and athleticism and role.
The championship team part is what I noted. I think it's really difficult, Ryan, to be a number one championship level, number two championship level player if you're not an on-ball creator. That's so significant to be able to get in and out of tight spaces in the playoffs. So I think that's why he just struggled some.
Well, and because we actually did see it the rest of that year as well, especially against the Phoenix Suns. But even Portland in that series where he had some good games, don't get me wrong, but there were also games where he took like three shots because Norman Powell was doing a great job of getting into his airspace. And he's learned how to deal with that. He's learned how to navigate that. But there are certain things that he is able to sort of expand his game when Denver needs it. And I think a lot of it is up here in the mental, where you have to kind of take off the filter, if you're him, of I can only take great shots, I can only take good shots, where sometimes you just got to take the shots that are available to you because that's what superstars and stars do.
Is there a bad shot for Porter at this point, though, do you think, for the Nuggets?
Yeah.
there's an out-of-process shot.
Yeah.
But I'm saying I don't know if there's a bad shot for Porter. He knows now, like, this is out of the process of the offense, as opposed to – could even his pull-up threes, his contested three-pointers, that mid-range he hit over two people yesterday, like –
Well, that one, like, that's the one that I'm like, okay, you know what? He can take all of these shots. All of these shots are clearly in his bag. where he has an escape dribble, shooting over two guys, contorting his body, turning around and hitting it nothing but the bottom of the net. Like, he has the talent to be able to do that. But I do think that, like you said, and within the championship context, a lot of that has been filtered out of his game so much, where he's got great shot selection for the most part. And people don't give him that credit for, like, people talk about him as a gunner. People talk about him as somebody who is selfish or things like that. He's not those things. And I don't think anybody that watches the Nuggets closely really thinks that either. But so much of, like, how you grow up within the league and how, what your role is asked to be, I think that's really colored what his overall shot selection and his process has been. If he was in a different situation, I do think, like you said, he would be, I think right now he would be a 24 point, 7 rebound, 4 assist kind of guy who has really great shot select or really great shot efficiency, despite the tough shots that he takes. And that's good enough. It's like, it's very close to what Jason Tatum does, in my opinion, where, like, that's about kind of where those guys would be. Now, can his body handle that? Can he handle that added physical toll? I don't know. And so maybe that's one of the reasons why his role is so slowed down.
I think a sign, though, of Porter's health is always his rebounds. So if he's rebounding at a high level, he's healthy. Because that means he's getting contested rebounds. Like, Michael's, I think what I love about Michael, and that Michael maybe has always been, but he's definitely grown into, he's not soft. Like, he's not a passive player. He's aggressive, especially as a defensive player at this point. And he will attack you at the rim. Like, if he feels like he can block your shot or he needs to contest, he'll attack. He always attacks the point of contact. And I love that about Porter. And this is what I think about Colin Gillespie, we'll get to in a minute, and my Reggie Jackson fear. Like, people, you know, I keep bringing this up about the Nuggets getting another backup point guard, and I always lean into the defensive thing. And I get Reggie Jackson is, like, a good shot maker, ball handler. But I think the thing that the Nuggets, what they excel at, Ryan, their physicality. They don't have a non-physical player in their top eight rotation, except for Reggie Jackson. Mm. Reggie's the only player. Last year, they had zero, because Bruce was extremely physical.
He's a dog.
Jeff Green is physical. Payne Watson is a physical player. Christian Brown, physical.
Yeah.
Michael, AG, KCP, Jamal, Jokic, all of them. They will get grimy with you. And they'll, matter of fact, and they won't even initiate the contact. But Reggie's the only player in the rotation that's a little bit of a mark, just because he just doesn't, he doesn't have the same kind of tenacity as those other players.
Yeah. We'll get into that in just a bit. I want to spend a couple minutes on Jokic before we get to a break here, though.
Who?
That big old triple-double man. 29 points, 15 rebounds, 14 assists. It was very easy, and it just looked like he's just an entirely he's controlling the game entirely out there. And it's very, very clear that even without Jamal, you just adapt, and he's in a situation where all he has to do is just make the pieces around him work. And Colin Gillespie did a good job yesterday. Michael Porter obviously did a great job yesterday. Aaron Gordon had 7 assists, and the way that they play together, and you have to understand how they sort of navigate things together, it all boils down to Jokic being at the center of it. He just controls every single thing that Denver does, and I'm not breaking any news here, but it's just really fun to watch him be, like, at this level consistently, because these last two games have been awesome.
He's played 15 games without Jamal Murray this year, and he's averaging 27, 12.3, and 10.3 assists in those games. And he also, I don't have the exact averages, but he's shooting, it looks like, well over 50-plus percent, if not like 55, so far this season. So, yeah, I think, like, Jokic, his playmaking definitely goes up because he has to score more. Now, Jokic is shooting 53% from the field, but he's shooting 23% from three. But this is, a lot of this was earlier in the season when he just wasn't shooting well from three. And he's shooting 78% from the line on 6.3 attempts a game. He's been really freaking good. Like, his numbers have been even better without him. I think some of this is, like, Joker, the only thing that I don't understand about him sometimes is he loses his like, he sometimes wanes at his free throws. Like, remember game 4 when they could have swept the Timberwolves? He missed just missed a free throw. And then that's why the game went into overtime. And it's just like, You know, he was 4 or 5 yesterday. Jokic is all touch and all focus, except when he gets to the free throw line sometimes. And it's just like, you just feel like, and again, he goes on these runs where he's shooting 91% from the line, or he didn't miss. What did he make? Didn't he make like,
he made 42 like, he made like 30 in a row at one point. Like that's like the, during this season, like he was at 30 in a row. So it's wild to see, like you are right that he kind of oscillates between levels of focus on different things. And it is very rare for him to be entirely dialed into every single thing. And this is like right. When he's playing as well as he is in all aspects right now, this is the area where he kind of has struggled.
So he went, Jokic had that little run there. And it was around the time that he went 18 of 18 from the line. And Steve Kerr went to the press conference to say that we can't have this in our league nonsense.
By the way, playing them tomorrow.
Right, which is a great conversation. Yeah, Joker went crazy, man. Like, he had 5 games straight where he did not miss a free throw. So, or actually 7. 7 games, technically, that he didn't miss a free throw. So, some of this is, man, I just wish he would, like, I just want to see a perfect run from him. This year in the playoff, if you could just shoot 90% from the free throw line, dude, and shoot another 45% from 3, another, 55% from the field, I mean, we're going to – I don't know. It's in his bag. That's the thing. It's all in his bag. Like, it's all there. Like, so anyway, I just think it's going to be fun. I think in the finals, he shot like 87% from the line or 84. So obviously, it didn't matter. But yeah, Joker's just a different dude, man. He missed 3 shots from the 2 yesterday and missed 2 from 3. And it's just like the way he operates. And even when they double teamed him yesterday to lob yeah, to Aaron Gordon. They late double teamed him, then he swung the ball around to Christian Brown. Yeah, he's just in a deep defensively. His pick and roll defense was excellent through the first 3 quarters. Then he got like came back in the game in the fourth. He's like, all right, you let your man go by you, foul Anthony Simons or whatever. But he was locking up for a lot of the game, man. He was just a great dude.
He's been great. And then I firmly, like, I'm not worried about him. I know that he didn't get a full break after the All-Star break, but like, because he obviously went to Indianapolis, but I am not worried about him in the slightest. I think he's going to be just fine and just looking forward to seeing where he continues to go. And because Denver is now in a situation where they can go catch a 1 seed, like he's going to put that on his back a little bit. I firmly believe that. I'm very excited to see what that looks like. But hey, you got any final thoughts?
Yeah, man. I think I know we're not talking Jokic MVP stuff, but I think for me, I think Jokic's season gets so dismissed. People are like, he shouldn't be in the MVP conversation. Or the other end is like, yeah, Jokic is the leading candidate, but is there another story? I'm just like, man, I just think we're kind of it's in LeBron Jordan area where it's like, you're just not back to back games, Ryan. He's shot now. What is that? So he's 22 of 27 from the field the last 2 games. He's has how many assists did he have last game? 15?
He had 15 and he had 14.
29 assists.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, 34 rebounds and 50 points in a 2-game span. And it's just, I think sometimes it's like, you just get used to a player being this good. Like, he's 29. It's like he's still young, and he's doing this at this level. And I just think sometimes people are just really they just really, dismiss it because it's just – you're just so used to seeing it from him. There's just no one else. There's no one else like him.
The list of players that have impacted all aspects of the game like he did and then like he continues to do, it's just so small in terms of the number of players that can really compare to that. LeBron is one, maybe MJ's another. He's not obviously not like a big rebounder or anything. Magic did it. Larry did it a little bit, but not really. Larry did. Beyond those guys, it's just you run out of names to really say. So it's been a lot of fun. Been a lot of fun to watch him and just understand.
Did you mention Magic Johnson?
I said Magic.
I know a dude 2 years from now is going to be there. His name is Victor Wembanyama. I'm just telling everybody right now. He's going to be a top two player by the end of next year. Top ten player in the NBA by the end of next year. Guaranteed. I'm not even kidding you.
That line last night was disgusting.
Right? Is he a top 15, 20 player right now already?
Not right now because
regular season.
Because of the minutes, no.
Well, I'm just saying, even in the minutes played, just take minutes played in it.
28 minutes a game. No, like I think I'd probably have him just outside the top 20.
Is he better than Bam right now? I'm not, and again, no disrespect to Bam. This is just all Wimby. Like, Wimby is just like, I think he's better than Sabonis. Like, I think it's pretty clear he's better than Sabonis. Like, he doesn't have the triple-double number, but like.
Good Lord. That's.
Is he a first-team All-NBA defender already? Like, I'm being honest with you, bro. Like,
I understand. And you've got a point. You've got a point. Like, I think I'd rather have Wimby. I'd certainly rather have Wimby than Bam. Would I rather have Wemby for the playoffs this year?
No, of course not. He doesn't know what he's doing yet.
So then I think I'm probably – like, if you're talking regular season, the Wemby. If you're talking playoffs, then Bam. So, like, they are in the same tier, though. I think that's a fair comparison.
I legit think he's going to be like – we're going to be having conversations next year between Wemby and, like – I think probably Wemby at the end of next year, Wemby and who's at the end of, like, the top 10? So, like, Tatum maybe Booker, like, I think Durant? He's going to be, no, I don't think next year, not next year, but.
I don't know.
Victor's crazy, bro. Like, I just think people need to be ready. Like, you played a Star Wars game, right?
Yeah, played a couple of them.
You know who he reminds me of, bro? He reminds me of Starkiller.
Oh.
I think he's the Dynasty Killer, bro. I really do. I really think he's the Dynasty Killer. I think for all these young cores, OKC, I think for the Rockets, I think all these people, I think everything is cool. But as soon as he gets a legitimate team around him, I'm not even talking about like a great team, a legitimate team. I think it's cap. I think it's over. I think he's that good.
Denver's kind of lucky then that they're peaking at this time as opposed to when Wemby's era will be. Like there's something to that.
Well, I think the difference with the Denver is like I think Jokic, because of how he plays, like I think for the next 6 years they'll be in the finals win combo. And I think even when Wimby gets to his apex, like I'm talking young apex, not his like late 20s apex.
True form. Yeah.
Yeah, I just think I think Wimby already, bro. And I'm not even trying to sound like I don't think you could even gas it. I just think like I love, and I know this turned into a Wimby thing, but you know what I love? They asked Wimby about his stat line yesterday, and you could tell every time they lose, Wimby's not laughing. He's not joking. He doesn't go into the media and, like, big up, like, stats. He doesn't have, like, the superstar thing about him where it's, like, everything's kind of, like, chilled and relaxed. He is pissed off. He doesn't like losing. It's on his face. He wears it on his body. He's not disrespectful to anybody about it. But he's not here for jokes. And stats, like he wants to win, and I'm like, dude, I like it. I like him, bro. I can't even. I like him. I want to keep liking him even when people start hating him. 3 years from now, people are gonna hate him.
Oh yeah, I mean, when you get to this young age, you're like, how could anybody possibly hate this person? Right. And it's honestly, I think it's gonna come down to man. People that are Wemby truthers will be like, yeah, Jokic, who the hell is that? They'll try to dismiss every single player in his path, and like they might have a point by that time. So we're gonna find out. We're gonna find out. He's dope, man. Like I do think that the Trae Young, Victor Wembanyama duo, like I could see Trae Young being a really good steward for his development.
What they're like, oh, what about Trae's defense? Oh, you mean with Jeremy Sochan and Wimby behind him? Oh,
yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah. Like, I do think that, like, that's actually a good thing for Trae because he would very quickly become the second best player on that team. And that's probably what Trae needs for his career.
Ryan, listen, did you see Wimby? And I know this turned into a whole thing. Did you see Wimby's POA defense yesterday? Like,
no.
His pick and roll defense?
I was watching Denver.
This dude in an Anthony Davis pick and roll, this dude like literally like squatted down so low and the amount of ground that he covered, picked off the pass in the pick and roll. I'm just like, dude, as soon as he figures out all these angles, you will not score.
Yeah.
Like, you're not scoring unless you're just extremely skilled over the top, which is cool. There's a few players like that. But I'm like, looking at him, I'm like, bro, he wants to get it. He wants to believe in it. And next year, when they get Alexander Sarr or Williams out of Colorado, good luck.
Yeah. This is like Giannis early on, if Giannis had like ball skills, like serious ball skills.
He could shoot and could get to the line.
Yeah. Like, this is, people are going to, it is a scary thing to think about. There's no doubt about it. All right, hey, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll fold in the other two segments together, and we will talk about the point guard dynamic, which I think is very interesting, especially seeing kind of how things go without Jamal. And then we'll talk about the rest of the week and tomorrow's game against the Golden State Warriors. But first, this podcast, as you know, is brought to you by our friends at Superbook Sports, the most trusted name in sports gambling, with a direct line to Las Vegas. You can use their promo code MILEHIGH, actually our promo code, to score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, Superbook will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code MILEHIGH. Make sure to download that Superbook Sports app, enter the promo code, and you'll get $250 courtesy of Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be right back on Weekends with Swipa.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Action Roll, Ryan Blackburn here, joined by my guy Swipa on this Weekends with Swipa episode. Thank you so much, everybody, for hopping in. Nice little tangent on the Wemby stuff. I think that we should do that more, if I'm being honest. Like, this is why we got to do more shows together, just like over the course of the week, because then we could just have like an NBA show. That would be like, I would love to be able to do that. That would be a lot of fun. Who's another team that, or another player that you're watching right now that you're like, okay, this is super interesting right now, given what's going on with Denver.
I think people are haters of Cade Cunningham. I don't know why either. I don't know why people don't like Cade. That doesn't make any sense to me. He's never done anything wrong to deserve the level of disrespect he gets. He's in a terrible situation with a terrible organization, with an organization that's clearly tanking, and they've done a poor job developing around him. But yet he's still been a very productive player in year three. He's 6'8". He does almost everything you ask of him to do. He's going to be a good defender one day. So for me, I love Paolo. People hate it. People hate it on Paolo.
Oh, could that be?
People said Paolo wasn't like that. I love Adam Mades. That's my brother. He said he would, you know, Franz and Paolo. Do you see Paolo? He's great. He's literally a baby. And he's figuring out playmaking and ball handling and passing. His shots coming together. He gave Denver a triple-double. I just think, man, like the young nucleus of players just like burgeoning up out of nowhere. And Paolo's Italian, you know, American, but Italian. He's whatever. Cade's obviously American. Victor's from Paris. Like, and I was watching some of the All-Star highlights that the Nuggets put out. Shout out to Shooter for the Nuggets putting the content together. But, man, like, I was watching Jokic and SGA just talk to each other. I'm just like, dude, like, the world team would wash the Americans. Like, and I mean, like, the under 35, like, world. Like, Ron, you know, yeah. Ron and Curry and Durant and all that stuff. But, like, I legit, like, they would wash the world, the Nuggets, like, the U.S. right now. Like, they're just so talented. Right now, Victor's coming off the bench for the world.
Yeah.
Right now. So, and Jokic is going to be at his apex I think Jokic is probably going to have a Curry. I think he'll fall into the Durant-Bron kind of tier, like in terms of like having an apex last until he's like 37, just because like he's going to take care of his body. He's going to work out. He's not going to be the same level of like best in the world, maybe at 37, but he'll still be in the conversation for MVP and all that. I think people like are just summarily dismissing what Jokic is right now, where Wimby is, Luka's going to be. Like, the world is incredible. And here we go. Rob, Adam said P-Walk's going to spend 2 years in the G League, and then we find out if he can play. As a matter of fact, seems like Ryan had a very familiar take. Did you say that out of the draft, Ryan?
Fuck yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Who did it? Who didn't? Who knew?
Who cares?
Who knew?
Man, it's here's the thing about P-Watt. Like, he was so raw at that point coming out of college and just didn't have the full level of development at that point. He's one of those talented okay, he's clearly a talented five-star high school guy who, bro, what is going on? He's okay. Clearly his talent and his development was a lot more accelerated than I thought it was going to be. But like, that's just a reasonable thing to think.
Why didn't you listen to me at the time? Was it because I didn't yet step fully into the swiper? This was summer 2022.
No.
Is it because I wasn't yet one of those ones that you felt like takes you could respect? What was it, Ryan?
You know, honestly, it's just because I don't really like you, if I'm being honest.
So I think the thing is, there are just certain players, man, that like there are just certain players. I think their IQ is everything. I think Jokic's IQ is everything. I think Peyton's getting back to the game yesterday, even Peyton's defensive instinct the last couple of games, Ryan, are like, bro, take that down. Don't look for help. Don't look for help. Address me. I said so. I told you he's gonna be the best. I said draft night. You can go pull the video up. He has potential to be the best defender on the team.
Like, you're probably right.
Like, can be.
I hear you. Like, look, I'm trying to give you props. Like, you're trying to like bring up old stuff, man.
No,
like,
during his Hall of Fame ceremony, when I'm there in person, I want you to remember this moment.
Yeah, you're gonna be dressed like the guys dancing at the funeral. Like, I can totally see it. My God. Okay, let's talk about the point guards. Let's talk about the point guard stuff, because I think that that's fascinating. I think it's an interesting aspect of Denver's team right now, and just sort of the development and where they're going to go now and in the future. Jamal Murray is obviously the point guard of the present and the future. Like, that's something that's going to consistently happen. But Denver just drafted a point guard in Jalen Pickett. Yep. Who has barely played this year. They actually traded for him, and he's barely played. He's not really getting off the bench right now, and that's fine. Like, no, he's still a second round pick. Nobody is trying to like foist Jalen Pickett minutes onto Michael Malone. But you sign Reggie Jackson to be your veteran backup point guard. He's done a pretty solid job for the most part, although he's been kind of, like you mentioned in the first segment, he's been kind of meh over the course of these last couple months here. And there's certain aspects of his playoff profile that might not jive with what Denver needs at the time. And so Denver's been going to this rotation lately when Murray's healthy, where they play Reggie with at the last 6 minutes or so of the first and third quarter. There's a little bit of overlap there with Jamal towards the end of the first quarter and third quarter. But then to start the second and fourth quarter, they've been bringing on Michael Porter and taking out Reggie. Yep. And they'll go with Murray, Christian Brown, Michael Porter, Peyton Watson, Zeke Nagy, or maybe DeAndre Jordan.
It's been Zeke when it looks best, yeah.
Yeah, and I actually like it with Zeke a little bit more, because it's more mobile and more defensive that way. Yep. But I think that's fascinating. And they're kind of getting away from the two point guard look as much as they can. During those moments. And I know that everybody's praying for that. They've been very happy about that. But I've also, like, we've now seen with Murray out that Colin Gillespie is kind of stepping into that role. And there's a lot of dynamics there where I'm just kind of not sure how Denver's backup point guard situation is going to shape out in the present or future. Because, like, Denver, in my opinion, like, I think Michael Malone would probably be like, re-sign Colin Gillespie. We will go with him as the backup point guard next year.
I don't think the backup point guard on the roster for the future. I don't think they're on the roster.
Interesting. So why do you say that?
I really think what they wanted to do was get Andrew Nembhard a couple years ago. I've been consistent on this. I think that was one of the targets. I just don't think they could have. Remember, they got Christian, Payton, but then they didn't have the capital to get Nembhard. I think that would have been kind of what they were looking for, a point guard that can play defense, that's a scorer. Like, think about this. If they would have drafted Payton, Nembhard, and Christian in 1 year, think about where they would be right now. Nembhard would be playing absolutely over Reggie Jackson. And I think, like, the issue is, I know that, like, we're not talking to the front office directly. The Nuggets don't need a Reggie Jackson or, respectfully, Jalen Pickett prototype, per se, at the backup point guard. I think Jalen's a really good player, but I know they need a defensive-minded, defensive-inclined backup point guard. That's just that's what works with them. They need a bigger body, at least. Jalen's 6'2". I think that, like, now, I will say it doesn't make sense that you have Hunter Tyson, Jalen Pickett, and Colin Gillespie taking up roster spots. Like, I think that
Gillespie's on a two-way.
He's on a two-way for sure. But yeah. I think, like, some of this is, like, you just have players that are, like, on the team in rotation or on the bench that just don't make a lot of sense for the fact that you know that you need more veterans. Like, you need a little bit more experience. And I think Reggie's a good player, but even Reggie, like, when he puts the starters, he's fine. But I think this is, like, you just need a little bit more help and assistance next to Jamal Murray. And like I said, the more physical player you get next to Jamal that's willing to get up and defend, I just think they're going to be better. Like, you don't need, like, another ball handler like that, especially in the playoffs. Like, but if you're telling me you don't think DeLon Wright or Chris Dunn or Dennis Smith Jr. could be a decent ball handler, then I don't really know what they're, you know, what people are watching. Yeah. But they're good enough to be a secondary ball handler.
I think that you're right, and I think that the general thing that Denver's probably learned over the course of these last couple of years, where you've had kind of what is a fully formed look at what Denver's vision is around Jokic, Murray, Porter, and this starting lineup. I think you're right about that, and I think one of the things that we've seen, kind of tying it into what we saw yesterday from Porter, is that he can scale up in those situations. You give him more opportunities as a shooter, as Todd's doing more things. And I think that Denver, like, in those situations where, let's say, Jamal is missing, where Jamal is out, you just put in your defensive-minded backup point guard in that, right, and say, okay, now, Mike, you are the two, or you're the second option, and Aaron Gordon is the third option, and KCP is the fourth option, and this defensive point guard is the fifth option, or somewhere around there. And I think that makes more sense from that regard as well. And you also have a little bit more defensive and playoff viability with a defensive-minded backup.
But you remember what they were playing. Was that the Memphis game when they won the first time, 104-91 last year? That was Christian, KCP, AG. What was the lineup?
Bruce.
That was Chris.
It was Bruce.
And Bruce. Yeah. The MPJ and Jamal were out, right?
Yep.
That's to be the clear tell. Jokic doesn't need a point guard.
Yeah.
Like, not a real one. Bruce is good enough. Bruce is, if there's 30 point guards in the league, Bruce is at the bottom 10 as a point guard, bottom 5 as a point guard. So what? Can you do a DHO? Can you hit a spot up jumper every so often? Can you create downhill pressure contact at the rim? Can you defend?
Can you enter the ball into the post? Is really That's what it. It comes down to. Like, I think that. That's one of the reasons why Joker is so good and why he is so, like, valuable in this way. It's because you don't need a specific kind of point guard to work with him. He's been able to make it work with a variety of different guys. And I think for the Nuggets and for their viability going forward, you don't necessarily need somebody like that. Now, I will say, Jalen Pickett in theory is a good option for the non-Jokic minutes, like where you kind of center things around him a little bit. He sprays out to shooters. And, like, Murray could be that guy as well, where, hey, you have Jalen kind of defend some of these other on-ball players, or maybe you just try to mix and match some of those matchups a little bit. There's something to that. But I do think that you kind of run into that crunch where when you say, okay, you want Murray out there, you want CB out there, you want Peyton out there, but you need a shooter out there. You don't necessarily need Jalen Pickett.
And I know this is a Malone thing, because I knew when Malone put that comment out there about Colin that, like, he's a Big East player of the year, he's a champion, he's a tough
guy. He's hyping him up.
Yeah. Malone, I don't care about any of that. And you know what? I don't even think you should. You said the same mess about Thaku. I don't care about these small players. I don't. Like, again, Ryan, you know, we're almost the same. We're basically the same height. You see my build. I'm a very athletic person. But at the same time, I'm not built for the league. I'm the same height as Colin, basically.
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm a great athlete. I'm not built for that. I don't care about all that. So my whole thing is why, if you know, Ryan, you're telling me right now that if you, in a playoff setting, put Peyton Watson, Christian Brown, Aaron Gordon, and Michael Porter Jr. next to Jokic, they wouldn't light the world on fire? Are you kidding me? You're telling me if you didn't put, even take out MPJ, and you're putting Aaron Gordon with Peyton Watson and Christian Brown and Julian Strother, you don't think they're going to – that's what I'm saying. Like, we're not actually having a combo. Can you do an entry pass? Can you win a DHO?
Yeah.
Peyton can do it. Christian can do it. So that's what I don't understand. Like, I just don't – I don't get – you need size and athleticism with Yoke. Colin and Reggie don't offer any of those things. So it just doesn't make – like you know, when in a Talladega Nights, like, what do I do with my hand? What do I do with these small players? This is Jokic. What am I supposed to do with these under 6'4 players?
Now, to be clear, Colin had a great game yesterday. I don't want to dismiss it too badly because he played well.
18 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds. Two created, two second chance opportunities he created off his hustle.
Yeah. No, he is one of those guys. The Faku comparison is very apt because Faku did also have these games, especially in that second year with him, where against some of these bad teams, he would like just have a monster game.
Yeah, remember the Houston game where he got the behind the back on who was that? That was he's not in the league anymore for abuse. What's the name? He was down in Houston from Cleveland. He got waved off Cleveland.
Kevin Porter Jr.
Kevin Porter Jr. Yeah, remember he got the behind the back and Porter didn't come out in the second half? Yeah. Everybody's like, oh my God, look at Faku with all this stuff. But that's what I'm telling you. And that's why I don't even like that game for the Nuggets. Good, yeah. Colin, that was a great NBA game. But you know what? Malone now is going to feel even better about you.
And we don't know what's going to happen. Because there just weren't any guys that could really take advantage of his size that could right. really go at him that way on Portland right. because Portland didn't have any talent like playing yesterday. Right. They had Jeremy Grant, they had Anfernee Simons, and they had DeAndre Ayton. And those guys, like, right. if Anfernee Simons goes at him, it's like, okay, who cares?
Chris Murray. By the way, I completely forgot they were twins, bro. I was like, dang it. Oh, that's right. They're twins. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. No, it's funny, man. I think in general that you're right about this, that Denver, they're going to have to find ways to go away from that again because they probably overcompensated. And it's one of the reasons why I had some criticisms for Calvin and the way that they kind of built the roster. You mentioned, hey, you have a couple wasted roster spots here. Hunter Tyson's not really doing anything. Jalen Pickett's not really doing anything. They might do stuff next year. I'm not going to sit here and say that they won't. They're going to have to prove that. They're going to have to show that. And like, it's just not going to help Denver this year. So, also Michael Malone is just not really giving Jalen Pickett much of a chance to show that he could help this year. Like, it's just maybe Jalen hasn't earned it behind the scenes. Maybe he hasn't been ready. Maybe he hasn't been good in practice, things like that. But like, Colin's getting all the opportunities and he's also not going to be eligible for the playoffs anyway because he's a two-way contract. So I don't really know how to feel about it personally. Like, I think that Denver.
Well, why not give Malone a guy that he's inclined to play, which is always a defensive-minded player? That's what doesn't make sense to me. You know he doesn't play young players that are offensive-leaning. You see that Julian's not in the lineup right now.
Yeah.
He doesn't play those players except if they're young and mighty, like Faku and Colin. So what I'm saying is, like, why would you not just draft a bigger guard that's more defensively inclined and just call it a day and say, Malone, have fun.
Let me look at the draft. And now, to be fair, I will say the connection at – gosh, where did Pickett play? Was it
– Penn State.
Penn State. There's a Calvin Booth Penn State connection there as well. So just want to make that clear. But at that stage of the draft, I'm looking at the the list of guys, the list of players that were selected, there really wasn't a player that you could say, yeah, this guy could really help us as a in the backcourt at that stage. So now, to be fair, why did Denver trade out of the other areas of the draft? I'm not really sure, but the draft last year wasn't very good. It frankly was like the last guy that was really drafted that is going to make a big difference is Cam Whitmore, and he fell because of like he only fell to 20 anyway. So
right.
not really super concerned about it. But yeah, I do think that DeLon Wright would be helpful. I think that Chris Dunn would be helpful. I think that those guys should be a priority in free agency next year. And when
to be fair, I think a lot of you are talking about Andre Jackson Jr. Again, he's not necessarily a guard, but he is a point forward in college. So
he would have been fine. I certainly wouldn't have critiqued it at all. But he's
imagine a nightmare of Andre Jackson, Peyton, and Christian coming off the bench. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Like, just pour into what you have. They have wings. Yeah. They love wings. Use them. That for me is just what doesn't make any sense. I just don't think that like Bruce Brown wasn't a traditional point guard either.
Yeah, no, Andre Jackson is so far away as a shooter though. Like that dude is really struggling to figure it out in Milwaukee right now. So we'll see. We'll see what that actually changes.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad Doc Rivers got Gallinari to play over him as soon as he got on the waiver. Like, come on. But thank you for beating the Timberwolves yesterday, man. The Timberwolves.
Yeah, hey.
Right after my dog Ahmad on Twitter said the Timberwolves are going to the finals. They didn't proceeded to get smoked out by the Bucks. So.
Yeah, and the Bucks like they were losing at one point and like just like had like a million free throws compared to Minnesota.
Didn't Giannis have 20? He had 20 free throws yesterday.
Yeah, it had 20 plus, and Minnesota I think at 13 as a team or something like that. Not great.
No.
Not great. Actually, let me go check that box score real quick because I'm curious. Yeah, 13. And now Milwaukee had 25 total free throws and Giannis had 21 of them. So it's.
What, 14 or 21?
Yeah.
Man, that's tough, bro. Like Giannis did not shoot. I mean, he was 9 of 13 from the field, but you go 14 of 21 from the free throw line, dude. Like, but again, you foul a lot. If you foul Giannis, that's what's going to happen, bro.
Yeah.
And then Ant made with three straight three-pointers. That's what I'm saying. They shouldn't even have been in the game, but Ant went ballistic and hit three straight
towards the end
three-pointers.
Yeah, he was really good towards the end, but like the game line for him was 10 of 27. So like he's everybody's trying to figure some things out, which is
I'm telling you right now, bro. I don't think they're frauds at all, but I think they're just like, bro, I just think shot making is everything in the playoff. They got one guy. One, and he's not even an elite shot maker yet. So I just think the formula is there of what wins. And I just think like defense isn't what went in the playoffs in 2024. It's just not. That's not the thing.
What do you think of Pat Bev burning all of his bridges, by the way, like with his previous teams?
He's loyal to the team he's on. And he's loyal to Doc Rivers too. Like he's loyal, like he just, you know, I don't have an issue with it. I mean, that's him. That's how he's always been. You know, you love him when you got him. You don't when you don't got him.
He's talking about Embiid playing against bum teams, by the way.
I still stand by Pat Bev would have been great in Denver. Think about what he would have been for Denver.
Yeah, I mean, he would be like Bruce Brown light. That's a good option.
He'd be playing over Reggie.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's pivot really quick. What are you doing?
Go ahead, listen to me, Rod.
Yeah, probably.
All we need is a defender. Everybody, I'm looking at Joker, watching Colin and Reggie just get beat by Anthony Simons. I'm just like, and he's obviously aggravated by it. He's like, I threw everything. I gotta leave the team in blocks, which he was until Peyton Watson took over today. I gotta leave the team in blocks. I gotta be second in steals. I think behind KCP, if not lead him in steals. I gotta lead you in points, rebounds, and assists. All I'm asking for you is to play good POA.
He was very frustrated. There's no doubt about it. Okay, let's move on. Let's move to the Warriors game here. Okay, thank you. Let's move to the Warriors game here. Denver plays tomorrow at Golden State on ESPN at 5 p.m. Mountain, folks. So weird time, but Denver's playing a 5 p.m. Mountain. That should be very interesting. I'm curious to see what Denver brings to the table for that one. I'm curious to see what Golden State brings to the table. Draymond, I don't remember the last time that Draymond and Jokic have played together, but Draymond's kind of getting into it with a lot of folks lately, and like he's talking a lot of shit. Say it again.
Remember, he's not doing that to Joker because he just told Jamal Crawford when he asked him who were like the toughest players to guard or deal with, most unstoppable, and he said Joker was number one on that list. He liked Joker. He always talked highly of Joker. I've only ever seen Draymond do one thing when he almost took his knee down in the playoffs that one time. But I think ever since then, he's been pretty, like, reserved. But also, Joker is not, like, he's not a reactionary player unless you're the referees. Like, so, you know, he's not going to, like, fall for that bait. But I'll say it's going to be a dogfight. I think it's going to be a dogfight. I think the Nuggets could get up by 12 or 15. The Warriors could get up by 12 or 15. And they're just going to come right back down to that. 5 minutes left, and it's just going to go into the clutch. And I said, when I did the last 2 years on Lockdown, I think Steph Curry is averaging 25, 4, and 5. And he's shooting like 42% from the field in the last six games versus the Nuggets. And I think he's 1-5 versus the Nuggets. And that's all KCP, by the way. That's KCP and Bruce and Peyton and them. Like, they just give him a lot. They give him a lot of issues. So, man, if the Nuggets take care of business, man, they'll sweep. They're 3-0 already versus the Warriors. They could sweep them this year.
So last 12 games, basically since the Golden State Warriors kind of changed their lineup and they went Draymond at center. They've got Andrew Wiggins at the four. They've got Jonathan Kuminga at the three. They're basically 10-2 in their last 12 games, and they're looking great. Like they are playing a great brand of basketball right now, and they're playing Draymond at the five, which is a little bit more of a challenging defensive assignment for Denver than like when they have Looney at the five and Draymond at the four and things like that. Like that's a little bit more cramped spacing at that point, but they've got a lot of athletes. Andrew Wiggins still obviously a great athlete, but Kuminga even more so. He's a great athlete on the perimeter. I'm curious to see how Denver matches up with it. That's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm curious to see how they guard Joker, because that's going to be, like, Draymond will be on him, to be clear, but I wonder what it looks like and whether Denver can find those cuts or whether everybody's just going to be sagging into the paint.
Well, I can tell you this right now. Fourth quarter, Jamal Murray is hunting that Steph Curry matchup, and they're going to bring Steph into the action, and they're going to bring Draymond up. And so now you got to make a decision. You're going to play Draymond up, and you're going to switch or head and trap, and then it's Joker and everybody else, or you're playing drop coverage versus Jamal Murray in the fourth quarter with Steph Curry trailing. And we saw that in Denver already, and he cooked him in back-to-back threes in that fourth quarter doing that. So I'll be really curious, come money time, how they defend Jamal especially.
Going to be fascinating, man. Jamal will be back. I think this last game that he missed was just more maintenance than anything else.
Man, it was Jamal's birthday. We know where he was. We know where he was.
Happy birthday to Jamal Murray, by the way. 27 years old. He and I are basically the same age. And he's underappreciated, I think, is probably the right way to describe him, especially nationally. It's going to be fun. That's a fun matchup, obviously. Lots of interesting storylines there. Then Denver's got a couple days off. They'll come back and play a back-to-back at home versus the Sacramento Kings on Wednesday and the Miami Heat on Thursday, a rematch of the NBA Finals, which first time Denver's faced Miami since then. Good Lord. But it should be very interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing how Denver approaches that. You almost 50. How is that? Bro, why is this? Why am I getting roasted on this show? Why is Cedric the only one to be roasting me on this show? Good Lord.
Who looks older, Ryan or Swiper? Which one of us looks older? Go ahead and answer that question. This is a little black. Obviously, black don't crack, so this is a little bit different.
I don't want to hear this one, man.
Which one of us looks older?
I don't want to hear the answer to this one, man. This is
which one of us looks older, Ryan?
Great.
Cedric is hilarious.
Self-conscious enough as it is, folks. Thank you so much. Thank you,
Ryan. To be fair, I groom every day. I groom every day. Beard Ryan. That's true. Beard Ryan. Swipe with no beard, Ryan.
I think that, you know what? I do. I got to grow it back. I shaved it for the break. I just wanted to go clean shaven into the break and go travel like that. But yeah, I think we're going to do the playoff beard again. That's going to happen. That'll be fun. Okay, real quick. So Sunday at the Warriors, Wednesday versus Sacramento, Thursday back-to-back versus Miami, and then Saturday at LA Lakers. What's Denver's what's their record during those four games?
They play Warriors and Miami in a back-to-back.
They play at Warriors, then Sacramento, and then back-to-back versus Miami between Sacramento and Miami.
At home, though.
Yeah, both of them at home.
Oh, they're 3-0.
Okay, 3-0 going into that, and then going to the Lakers game on that Saturday. That'll be fun. That'll be good.
And then they have four straight home games after 6-5, 5 straight home games after that.
Yeah, that's going to be – like, Denver's in a pretty good spot, man. Like, they are – you just got to get through some of these – like, these are tough matchups. They're not easy, especially with the way that the Warriors and the Kings are kind of playing right now. And then Miami, they're kind of percolating a little bit. Like, that team is
– Oh, are you surprised? Wait, I'm sorry. It's almost March, and so dare I say Jimmy Butler – and the Miami Heat are percolating. Oh, hold on. Let me check my schedule. Let me check my schedule real quick, y'all. Is it?
Where's the?
I see.
It's that time of Jimmy Butler meme of him like turning into like the second coming of Michael Jordan. Like that's just like the timing of the schedule and how that goes.
The Celtics, my boy Shane Young. The Celtics in the 2008 Celtics and 2024 Celtics, same record. Same team, it's their year. Like, all right, dude, here.
I know here Shane. Again. I've met Shane. Like, he is wrong about this. He is wrong about their shot profile. Like, he keeps saying that they should shoot as many threes as possible. I'm like, man.
Well, we've seen this story 10,000 times. It doesn't win championships.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know, bro. But again, they're also the same people that thought that the Suns were going to win because they shoot a lot of jumpers. I'm just like, I'm telling you, you get to the second round and beyond, you don't win that way. You're not going to win with jump shots. You're just not going to do it. You're not going to do it.
You have to create open shots. And, like, you got to create good shots. And they're in rhythm. And you got to, like, find the spots on the floor where you are at your best and where you're most comfortable. And you're most likely to hit as many shots as possible. With the threes, like if you just abuse the numbers, if you just abuse the actual like math game of it, then you're going to lose the soul of what you're supposed to do within the flow of a basketball game. So I think that's interesting.
Right, big boy. Threes don't win rings.
Threes don't win rings. Big boy does not seem to want to be there. Oh my gosh. I'm... You know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna go 4-0. Let's do it. Let's go 4-0. Usually I'm the one that's like a little bit more conservative on this list on this podcast. I am definitely going to go 4-0 though. I think that this is if Denver's gonna prove it, like they're gonna prove that they're at this level, this is the right time to do it.
So I think that everybody got caught up in that I think he's right. Ryan is more conservative than I am. That's very true, everyone. I think we all agree with that.
Oh my God.
I think that I think we should be in a situation where everybody got caught in this 3-game losing span. And I don't think the Nuggets are going for the one seed. They're already clear about this. But I think a lot of this is it's just like, look, the Nuggets are just like when they're playing their brand of basketball, they're just good, but they're not executing like a lot of effort. It's just, this is just how we play. And I remember Swiper is Deadshot from Suicide Squad. That's a fact.
That's a good one.
I like that. Will Smith, pre-slap Will Smith.
Keep my territory. Wife's name your fucking mouth.
I think a lot of this, right? Because I think Matt Moore and Adam talked about this a little bit, but the Nuggets don't blow a lot of teams out, but they don't really try to. They're just playing their brand of basketball, man. I just think, dude, like, they just feel good. If they feel good and they're healthy, then, you know, I think they feel like they're locked in.
Gonna be interesting, man. This is a good time for Denver. They're clearly in a good spot after this All-Star break. They look better. Michael Porter looks very athletic and just springy in general. He's been grabbing a lot of offensive rebounds too, which is really nice.
Got a great hand.
Aaron Gordon's not grabbing as many rebounds, but somebody has to not grab rebounds when Michael Porter has 12 and Jokic has like a million. So I'm not really that worried about it. But Denver's going to be in a good spot. They have some interesting tough matchups upcoming, but if they go 4-0 during that stretch, then there's a lot of positives to come from it. They're going to prove a lot of people in a good positive way. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Nah, man. It should be a really fun game versus the Warriors. I think everybody should be excited to watch it.
Going to be good. Everybody, that is going to do it, I think, for this episode of Weekends with Swipa. Shout out to my boy for hopping on. I know you've been very, very busy over the course of these last few days. Got a lot of shows coming. And you've been doing some collaborations with Bleacher and Player's Choice, right?
Yep. I got a little announcement coming out next week too. So it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Interesting. Should be fun. Everybody tap in for Swipa to see what that is next week. We've got some fun things coming up. And by the way, if you missed it earlier in the show, we've got a nice little watch party that's coming. Number 38, the bar downtown, should be very, very fun. Really good vibes. And you might be seeing us in person if you are interested in doing that. So it should be a lot of fun. Everybody, he is Swipa. I'm Ryan. We are out. Make sure to hit that like button down below. Thanks, everyone.
1 Granger for the ones who get it done.